Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, how in the world are you? If you've struck a rough day, just look up and say, Lord, see me through this one. And I assure you, He will. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? Well, today, Dave and Bethley begin Proverbs 12 as they continue their discussion on how to have a happy life and a happy family. So let's join them.
We are glad you've joined us today. Hope you've found these profitable as we
talk. The Proverbs
are profitable. And we have certainly enjoyed the study of them. The chapters are just loaded. My goodness, there's so many things. I have read Proverbs, I couldn't tell you how many times, because I was a teenager when someone told me I should read a proverb a day every month of the year. And for many years I did, and then I took a break from them, and then frequently I come back at least once or twice or three or four or five times a year I read through the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. We've read through Proverbs several times with our family through the right. years as well. And just a loaded book. And we've kind of worked our way, you know, skipping around and emphasizing themes, and we've kind of come to the Proverbs chapter 12 is where we are right now. And I've enjoyed just how Solomon just kind of jumps into things and throws things out and then moves on. And like in the book of Proverbs, he says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A good man. So he just throws that out there. You know, a good man, God honors and favors a good man. And I want to be a good man. I want my sons to be good men. Mm. And hope all of you guys out there are good men, because God gives us favor when we're good men. And then he comes along and he talks about a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Mm. And I thought that was kind of a funny way of saying it. I thought, wonder what he was trying to say there. And was he illustrating or alluding to a story?
Well, with all of the women in Solomon's life, I'm sure that there were a few that felt like rottenness in his bones. But it's a good illustration for us as wives to remember a virtuous woman is someone who is praised not only of her family, but of the Lord. And if you are not going to be virtuous, your husband is just going to feel like he's sick all the time.
Yep. So what he's talking about here is he's a good man. And then he talks about a virtuous woman. What are some of the other things here he discusses? He throws in an animal or two and just a whole ton of stuff here. He has so many things to discuss.
And all in Proverbs chapter 12.
Yes.
So a good man, a virtuous woman. He talks about tilling your land. He talks about regarding the life of your beast.
A righteous man regards the life of his beast. So he mm-hmm. talks about our animals. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Sometimes the way the Hebrews wrote poetry and these wise sayings, we're so used to things being contrasted. You know, this is true, but this is not.
Right.
And if this is true, then this is true. But sometimes the Proverbs are written in by the Hebrew mindset that can seem to say, that doesn't even fit. Where in the world are they going with that? And so one of the things, though, that shows up in Proverbs 12 is not just, you know, about a good man and a good woman and taking care of your animals and all of that. He has a ton to say in Proverbs 12 about our words. And Beth and I want to submit to you that if you're going to have a happy life and a happy family, you have to emphasize the value of right words. So that's going to show up a ton here. And it really starts in verse 6. Do you want to get us started there? In
yes.
Proverbs 12 and verse 6.
The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them.
That's a pretty heavy verse there. Mm. I don't even know everything Solomon was trying to say there, but this is where he starts drawing our attention to the power of words.
Right.
You almost get the idea he's saying it's deadly. There's blood. You can have bloodiness result of your words.
Well, your words can be very hurtful, apparently. And those who are wicked and use the power of those words, it's almost as if they're lying in wait to destroy you, to hurt you physically, bodily. And while we will, with the old adage of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that is so not true. And those of us who are adults, even children, know that that is not true. Our words can hurt us so badly. So this verse is just an illustration of that.
Sure. Verse 13 continues the idea of our words.
The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble.
And what he's saying right there is you can get in a ton of trouble through your words.
Yes.
And isn't that true? You can say the wrong thing, and the next thing you know, there's a snare. You're snared because of your words. Words are hugely powerful. Verse 14 tells us that our words produce good.
A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him.
Our words can produce value.
Yes.
It can be very good.
And that's what we're going to emphasize today.
And then look at verse 17.
He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit.
One of the things that I hope you'll notice as we're studying through Proverbs here is that all of these areas of emphasis begin to become interwoven.
Yes.
We've talked about integrity and righteousness, and here now he's tying integrity and righteousness into our words. And we see that there, and he talks about truth versus dishonesty. We must continually strive for honesty and continually teach our children the value of honesty. And in reading that, he's talking about our words here, but it almost sounds like a repeat of what we've been teaching in the last few weeks. So it's connected to our words, yet another area where we have to emphasize. How do you evaluate? How are my children doing? Listen to their words. Mm-hmm. Are they honest?
Yes.
Are they dependable? Are they mean? Mm-hmm. Are they kind? Are they loving? Do they lie to you? You can listen to words. You find a lot about our children when it comes to words. I like verse 18. Verse 18 is a very powerful, powerful verse.
We use this verse a lot in our family. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health.
Now think about what he's saying there. We can either be deadly in our words or healthy in our words.
Yes.
We can tear down with our words, or we can build up with our words. We can damage with our words, or we can help with our words. We have to emphasize this. And in the culture we live in, if you don't believe this is an important area, take a little trip to Walmart, take a little trip to Target, go to a grocery store, and don't buy anything. Just wander the aisles and listen. Go to the airport and listen to the way families talk to each other, the way children respond to their parents, the way parents respond to their children. Mm-hmm. And what you'll find out is that the tongue is very deadly. It is a rare thing to hear someone talking in such a way where it is healthy, to where there's peace and there's contentment and we're building and strengthening. I would say that's a very important verse for marriage, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
And since this is a marriage and family podcast, let's talk about that. Our words can do massive damage in a marriage.
Yes, they can.
And how are some ways our words can do massive damage in a marriage?
Well, just this past Sunday, as we're recording, so this will be later in the summer, but recently we were home and our youth pastor was preaching, and he gave an illustration that honestly, when he started giving this illustration, I just started praying for him because, well, you'll just see when I give you the illustration, because you just have to be a brave man in our culture, even in Christian culture, to give this illustration. But he talked about a friend of his who was on fire for God, was really serving God, doing things that he knew the Lord wanted him to do, leading his family in the way that he thought the Lord wanted his family led, but he had started dropping off. And so our youth pastor had asked him, hey, what's going on in your life? Why aren't you serving God the way you used to? And he said, well, to be honest, he said, my wife has a Bible degree. My wife studies the Bible. My wife says that she knows more about the Bible than I do. And so everything that I felt led to do in our family for spirituality or for righteousness or for the church or for serving God, she had a better idea. No, we shouldn't do it this way. We should do it that way. No, that's not the right way. We should do it this way. And so he said, after a while, I just started feeling like, well, obviously, I don't do it right, so I'm just not going to do it at all. Ladies, oh my. And I have seen this in our travels, in our ministry with families, with couples, over and over, how many times we as wives think we have a better idea. Maybe we do feel that we're more spiritual than our husband, and so we know better how to lead our family spiritually. Or even just in practical ways, I've seen girls all the time tell their husbands that they're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong, whether that be diapering the baby or helping with the children or helping with homework or helping with housework. And so we constantly, with our words, are undermining what we want done. Girls, if your husband is leading in any way, you should be jumping up and down and praising the Lord and saying, that is awesome. And instead of tearing them down and manipulating and constantly telling them that they're doing it wrong, just be thankful. We can so undermine our marriage by our words.
We get the habit of responding in the intensity of a moment, yes, and ridiculing and cutting down and belittling and always correcting. When we get in that habit, whether it's the husband or the wife, it's an unhealthy,
yes,
use of our words.
Yes.
And it will damage your marriage. And in the moment, reason it's hard to see is because it takes time. You know, a person, you know, early in a marriage can brush things off. But in a marriage where one of the spouse is always negative, always belittling, always rolling her eyes and sighing, or his eyes and sighing, when that happens, in a process of time, there is damage done in a heart that in our culture sometimes is deemed irreparable, and the marriage either struggles on for years, two unhappy people living together, mm-hmm, and sometimes the one that's the cause of it in the initial stages can't even understand what's going on. And sometimes in our culture, frequently in our culture, ends in divorce. And it's not God's plan. It just reminds us that our words can do massive damage in a marriage.
And I would even say, girls, be careful. Sometimes we think that we're doing it okay, that we're correcting, for lack of a better word, our husband in a sweet way because we're using a nice tone and we're like, no, don't do it that way. Oh my goodness, no, do it this way. And we think we're being sweet. But if that is constant, your husband will start to feel in a matter of time, I can't do anything right, so I'm just not going to do it at all.
Yeah, and there comes a point when a husband stops helping with the children, stops helping with the meals, stops helping with the cleaning. And when a husband feels like he cannot keep his wife happy, he stops trying.
And it can go the other way too. Yeah. If a wife feels like she can never live up to the expectations of her husband, if he's constantly belittling her or comparing her to other people, then eventually that wife will stop trying too.
And so we're speaking in terms of marriage here, that our words can do massive damage. When we speak in never and always terminology, that's unwise, when we're just mean to each other. And sometimes we just are, and we don't even realize it, that that's just a mean thing to say. And sometimes we're around couples and it's uncomfortable for everybody around them, but the person who's being mean sometimes doesn't even realize how uncomfortable they really are making it. Hopefully all of us have people in our lives who can step in and correct us and say, you should change that. And we should be continually growing spiritually and recognizing these areas in our life. Even if nobody ever comes along and corrects us, mm-hmm, we should be correcting ourselves.
It can be difficult to see also because sometimes we do it with humor. The meanness, as the Bible says, the speaking like the piercing of a sword is done in, can we say, and with this sense of humor, like, isn't this hilarious that I just cut down my spouse in this particular way? The culture is all laughing at it, but by the standards of the Word of God, that's just being mean, and you're just piercing your spouse just like you would if you had a sword.
Yeah, there are some couples we're with where the husband will always bring up a fault in a perceived fault in their spouse, in his wife, mm, and he laughs about it. And he'll do it in such a way that everybody's laughing. Or she will bring up a perceived fault in her husband in a public way and ridicule. It's funny, haha, isn't this hilarious that he always or she always does this? And isn't it funny how he does that? Oh my word, can you believe that my husband or my wife would do that? And what you're doing there is you are on the wrong side of this verse.
Right.
You are speaking with the piercings of a sword.
Hey, this is your good friend Michael Barnett. Dave and Bethley started Proverbs 12 today, and tomorrow they'll be continuing this as they discuss how to have a happy life and a happy family. So till I meet you once again by way of radio, I trust you have a wonderful day. Be you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just go to keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.